What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Santamania. I'm your host, Marvin Sandoval, here with another episode. Today we have James Testa. He is the CEO, and founder of Warm Up Protein Coffee. Now, I met James at a CrossFit competition, and I just happened to be looking around at the other vendors. I was selling Lift Weights Eat Cake shirts, and out of all the vendors, his is the one that stood out. I saw Warm Up Protein Coffee, so I was like, okay, cool, protein and coffee, let's try this out. And he gave me a sample, and it was absolutely delicious. It was so good, I actually had to buy one right there on the spot. And from there on, we actually formed a really nice friendship, always stayed in contact, and he was just a really outstanding, friendly guy. And I know he's been working on his business, growing it, and I thought, who better to have on my podcast? Now, James is a young entrepreneur, and you guys will hear about his story in the podcast, but what differentiates this one, which I really think you guys will enjoy, for content creators, we kind of talk a little bit about the tactics on Facebook advertisement and also Instagram advertising as well, and how to use that to kind of grow your business and drive more sales. But also, I think what you guys are going to enjoy is the story aspect of who James is. So enjoy the podcast. Make sure to check out his Instagram. His company's Instagram is Warm Up Protein Coffee. Go check him out. They're on Amazon. And just make sure to try it out. It's absolutely delicious. And I think if you guys are into fitness, if you guys like protein and coffee, this is the one that you want to go with. So definitely go check it out. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Santamania. I'm your host, Marvin Sandoval. I'm really excited about this podcast episode. I'm here joined by my guest, James Testa of the Warm Up Protein Coffee. I actually met James at a CrossFit event where I was hosting a booth myself for the company my brother and I own, Lift Weights Eat Cakes. And I happened to just walk down, look at the other vendors, and James was there with his company, which is a whey protein, or an isolate, excuse me, and it just had an amazing taste right off the bat from a sample, and I had to buy one right then and there. So James, thank you so much for joining me today, man. How's everything going?
Yeah, everything's great, man. I'm happy to be on the podcast. I've been following some of your podcast episodes and stuff, so it's cool to be on the show.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, I think it's amazing to always connect with, you know, like-minded people and entrepreneurs who are actually out there, you know, who are in the nitty-gritty, who are hosting booths, whether it's going to a gym or going to a CrossFit or a powerlifting event. I see that you do a lot of the promoting yourself, which, you know, I really respect that hustle, man. So tell me, you know, how's things been with warm-up coffee? Protein coffee for you? How's the expansion growth? How's everything going so far, man?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think everything goes slower than you expect it to, but when you look at it like in the big picture and you look at it from where you to where you're at, it's like, damn, I made a lot of progress. And like even looking back to like when you already mentioned me and you first met at that event, that was kind of when we were first starting to get out there, and like this zero investment. I did a Kickstarter campaign to get my intro money, and then from there on, sell a bag, reinvest, sell, reinvest, and so that's up all those events, like the one we met you at, and from there just kind of like started to get into people like you, who had podcasts. We started getting bigger locally, and I think that's like a really good way to do it for any business, like focus on your local area, and that's where you're going to get the most support, I would say, and then it's easier to branch out once you have a strong following locally. And like along the whole journey, this February I had to be on the MFCEO project out in St. Louis with Andy Frisella, so that was awesome. And now I just got news the other day. I got admitted into Mass Challenge for space in the Seaport District all summer long.
Wow. So it seems like you've clearly come a long way. And I can't agree more with the idea of doing things locally and especially yourselves. It's
always nice to have support, and if somebody can help host a booth, if you're unable to make it, of course, but I think it's so important as a brand to that the people who are purchasing have somebody's face to kind of put with the brand, to be able to recognize that and know who they're buying. Because whenever my brother and I go to an event and we explain that, you know, we're the founders of the company, we're the ones who are selling and developing the product, people can really understand the story and know who they're buying from. And I'm really fascinated by you. And I love to hear, like, how did you come up with Warm Up Protein Coffee? What, tell me where did this originate from?
Yeah, definitely. I think you couldn't have said it any better too, with like when it first started, like you said, I was at every single event. Now, like, I have my interns and stuff, so they go to a lot of events for me. But when you first start out, it's like people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So when you're there and you're sharing your story with people, people are gonna relate with you, and then people know who's behind that brand, like you said, you and your brother, and people are gonna buy from you because they like you and your brother. So going more directly to your question, I came up with the idea because I was going through recovery from a motorcycle accident, and I had to, like, up my protein to help my bones heal faster. And that's when I dived into the whole world of, like, nutrition, and really, like, sparked my passion for fitness. And I was in college at the time, and I was going to the gym before class every day, before my 8 a.m. classes. And I was having a protein shake after my workout, and then I was going into the Tedeschi's next to the gym and getting a coffee. And, like, halfway through my first class, I'd be running to the bathroom, like, peeing my pants because I had to out. So I thought, like, it would be way easier if there was a product out there that kind of suited both needs. And I didn't even, like, think to develop one myself at first. It was, like, once I went out there and started, like, searching, I realized, like, there really wasn't anything like this. So that's when I kind of I was going to develop that product and just do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what were you studying when you were in college?
I was studying entrepreneurship in college.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Because it all kind of came together. You saw there was a need in the market, and the fact that you yourself saw that, like, I would buy this shit. Like, I clearly like coffee and protein, and to have this kind of, like, marriage together is something that, you know, as fitness people in the space, like, it's always nice to have that extra boost of caffeine, like, that extra energy, because in the morning, I'm sure as hell not ready to jump straight into the gym, but the fact that I'm getting my protein and some coffee in there just really works together. And I want to ask you, was it tricky navigating the supplement industry? I mean, it's so different, where with apparel, you can kind of go to Alibaba, or you can go all over the place to find different manufacturers for shirts, whether it's domestic or international. But working with, you know, supplements, you know, you go through so many, I feel I could be completely wrong, so please tell me, like, it seems like there's a lot of red tape. How did you navigate that? Was there something that helped you, or was it just literally trial and error?
Yeah, it was honestly, and I think, like, every single thing in your business journey is just trial and error, period. Like, there's no, like I mentioned, I was studying entrepreneurship in college, but you can't teach entrepreneurship, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, every business is different, every experience is different, every journey is different, so it's like, you just can't teach it. You have to, like, just dive in, make mistakes, and that's really what it was, trial and error. So I didn't even know as much about the supplement industry as I thought I did when I got into it. And a lot of people already know that the supplement industry isn't regulated by the FDA. And that started opening my eyes up to, like, the kind of crap that's really out there in that industry. And that's where I saw an opportunity, too, to really, like, differentiate ourselves as a company. And as you know, obviously, like, we fully disclose our ingredients, and we're proud of that. And we also explain how, like, we use the highest quality manufacturing you can use. There's some companies out there, like, you don't even know where they're making their product. Like, we manufacture in, like, top of the line, like, FDA registered facilities, even though that's not a requirement by the supplement industry. So that's something that, like, building the company up, I just wanted to build it all off quality. And I thought, like, all that kind of stuff was important. And, like, just seeing that gap in the industry where companies weren't doing that, I just thought, like, even though it's a competitive industry, there was, like, a big opportunity for that.
I think there needs to be a higher level of responsibility in the supplement industry, or just companies in general, or we can even go deeper in people. I think there needs to be a higher sense of accountability. And the fact that I think it's a good trend or a wave that I'm seeing, like, just transparency. Where has this been for the last 10 years? Whether it's supplements, food, or just people as a whole, being more transparent. And I think that if we're honest up front about what we're doing, and we can talk proudly of that, whether it's shirts, trainers, or protein coffee, like, all these things, people want to know what they're buying, and people want to know who they're buying from. And I think all this together just kind of, like, works hand in hand. And so you develop the brand, you go forward with it. Who's the first person that you tell this idea to?
I'm trying to think. I think I pitched it in one of my classes, to be honest. I think that's the first time I ever told the idea. Like, I had the idea. I was in class one day, and as part of our entrepreneurship courses, we're always pitching products. They'll make us, like, do elevator pitches, and I literally, like, came up with the idea and had to, like, pitch in front of the class that day and completely drop my other idea and just, like, pitch that, and everyone thought it was a sick idea. So I was like, I'm going to roll with this.
And when you wanted to pursue this, like, when you first made your first investment, like, into your company, mm-hmm. what did your family say? Like, did everyone support you? Was there people who doubted you? What was the initial reactions from, like, your inner circle, I guess?
I mean, I've been grateful, at least that, like, I've been real grateful in the sense, like, everyone's definitely always supported me. I think, it took a little while for everyone to start taking me as seriously as they do now. Like, being a young kid, like, if you're going to, like, start a business, a lot of people really aren't going to take you serious. So I think, and they shouldn't, because you haven't proved yourself yet. So I think it's real important to, like, go out there and, like, build a real business with real customers and, like, build rapport.
And that's really interesting that you mentioned that. I think that with our generation, like, people see that there is so much opportunity out there, and we're all out there to get our own, like, share of it. But the lack of experience or being young may actually develop an obstacle within itself, because we have yet, like you said, to prove yourself. What have you done when talking to, whether it's people that are older, more experienced, or just kind of send the present that, yes, I may be younger, but I'm going to make this work? How do you have those conversations, or what have you done to combat that?
Yeah, I've just combated that by hard work, like, plain and simple. Like I've been in rooms, like, even, like, speaking, like, I've done little speaking engagements where I've, like, talked about, like, crowdfunding and stuff. And I had a successful Kickstarter campaign, and there's 30-year-old, 40-year-old people in that room that I'm talking to that are starting businesses and are, like, considering starting a Kickstarter campaign. So, like, what I kind of did to combat that was just build my resume up as much as I could, to the point where it was just as good, if not better, than people older than me.
Mm-hmm. What would you say? Well, it's really interesting, because you're kind of given so much, like, information, you know, to not just people our age, but older. What would you say something that you know now that you wish you probably knew when you first started your company? What's something that you know now?
I would say, especially as a young person, because I know you got a lot of young people that listen to this podcast. I'm 22, by the way, for whoever's listening and is curious. I would say be very careful who you take advice from, and try not to take too much from people, because I think as, like, a young kid starting a business, there's a lot of vultures out there and people who want to take advantage of you, or steal your idea or do whatever it might be. And then you also don't want to take too much from people, because you don't want to be in the kind of position where it's like someone has an IOU over them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to, like, in your early stages, you need to just really buckle down and, like, do things on your own till you get things going.
Who would you say has been your greatest mentor? I know you talked about, like, you know, keeping your circle close, kind of like you have to watch your back, but also make sure you keep your circle tight. Who would you say is the person that you go to for, like, that life advice or business advice, kind of like that one person that can always, like, kind of like talk to you and it's like, yes, that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. I it's honestly like kind of a bunch of people. So I'll talk to, like, my younger brother. He's played a role in the company. He does, like, a lot of the content and that kind of stuff. And, like, his, like, level of creativity is just, like, off the chart. So, like, I'll, like, ask him about things. There's a lot of guys I follow on social media because I don't really – I personally, until I started my own business, I didn't know a lot of entrepreneurs, people who own businesses and stuff like that. So I didn't really know who to talk to. So I, like, went to social media and I followed guys like Grant Cardone, Andy Frisella, like, all these guys who were just killing it, like, self-made guys, and, like, Gary Vee. And the kind of content that they're putting out is really, like, all you need in a mentor. Like, they're putting out anything that anyone else could teach you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I think it's a lot of mindset. And the one thing that really differentiates from dreamers and doers is just execution. At the end of the day, with Gary Vee and all these other like-minded people who are, I guess, I don't want to say just motivational speakers, but people who are really trying to get you to do, it's easy to get hyped up. But I think following people who actually got theirs is because they went out and did something, which is really important.
Yeah, that's something I kind of wanted to add too, if I didn't already say it. It's just like, be real careful who you take advice from. Like, that's really important. Like, you need to understand, like, your friends, your family, like, all these people care about you, they love you, they want you to do well, but they're not where you want to be necessarily, you know what I mean? So you want to take advice from people who are where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. What would you say has been your greatest struggle so far with your company, whether it's been with relationships, networks, distribution? What has been something that you struggled with, and how have you been able to kind of better that situation, or how are you going about it?
I mean, there's a million struggles. Like, when you're starting a business, there's like a million things I could talk about for days that are struggles. and that's just the reality of it. And you just, like, have to learn to love that. And if you don't, you're definitely not going to make it. But I would say, like, distribution's definitely been challenging because that's something that, like, I knew zero about going into this, like, working with retailers and all that kind of stuff. So learning how to manage those relationships in addition to getting into stores and all that whole process, like, that was something that was hard for me at first, but now I've been learning how to do as we've been picking up more retailers and keeping those retailers, because a lot of people get a retailer and they don't keep them because they just don't manage the relationship well. So I think there's, like, a lot that goes into that people don't understand, as far as, like, distribution goes.
Got it. So I kind of want to take a little pivot in terms of the conversation, because what I've noticed is that on my podcast, like, we talk a lot about, like, philosophical and important things, but I really want to talk to you about a couple of tactical things that people could maybe implement right now, or, you know, whether it's their business or building their social, whatever it may be. So I guess my first question for you would be, so you have your interns. It seems like you have your younger brother helping you with your business. I think something that a lot of small businesses and creators start to struggle with is when to let people in on the team, or when to grow their team. When should they begin hiring? When was it that you knew it was time for you to grow your team?
I think you kind of, like, you hit a point where, like, you just know it's like, all right, like the tasks I'm doing right now are just, like, redundant. Like, you already kind of have it up and running. Like, the processes are already in place. Like, you know what to do, and it's you hit that point where it's like, all right, if we're going to grow, I need to go take on the next challenge and I need to put someone else in the position to just manage that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you kind of know when you hit that point.
Do you find somebody that does what you do well, or do you find someone that complements your strengths or somebody that focuses on your weaknesses? What do you think is like a good hire for you?
I think it needs to be like a little bit of both. Like my brother, in a sense, like he complements what I'm doing. So like I can give him the idea and he can execute it. Like for example, like my email funnels and stuff, like I can tell him like, all right, like I want to map out our story and then I want to explain the brand. Like I know what to do and he can kind of execute it and put it into words. So you want people that compliment you in that sense. And then you just want people who are about the same thing that you're about. Like I'm just about hustle. I'm not about like, oh, I want the smartest person on my team. Like I want the hardest worker on my team. Someone that's definitely willing to learn, and more importantly, like people who are excited about your brand and what you're doing. Like if they're not excited about what you're doing, they're no use.
Mm-hmm. And we also talked a little bit earlier about, you know, the idea of, we kind of touched upon it, networking and making sure you start to work locally for businesses. What did you do to start just, you know, networking and kind of like getting those gigs at competitions? Like, what were some of your initial steps?
So like it was just really like kind of leveraging connections you already have to get your foot in the door first event, and now it's like now you have to build rapport, you have to make a name for yourself. What did you do at that event? Do people like you? And like the way our events have kind of gone is like I really don't even book that many of them. We get invited to them. Like I'll get DMs from like friends of people who an event we were at, they're like, hey, we're doing this event, can you come there? We'll do a bodybuilding show, and then like another bar and say, hey, can you come to this event? So I think it's just a matter of like really building rapport, getting people to like you, and just bringing value to what they're doing. Because if someone's hosting an event, they want vendors there that are going to bring value to their event. So if you're a fun time and they know you're going to be there and you're making videos and like you're just not just sitting around with like a pissy face all day. I think like people are going to want you to be there, and it kind of just snowballs.
I think you touched on something that's really important, and it's kind of like my life philosophy is just don't be a dick. Yeah. If you're going to show up for your business at an event, you better go smiling, the nicest person with the best attitude, with no problems, with a story, with the biggest heart.
And be ready to tell that same story to every single person who comes by the table.
And treat people genuinely, kind. Ask them how they are. It's not about you, it's about them. Because
I think that's a big like fault businesses make too. Like they're just trying to, like, I don't know if you've noticed in the events that we've been at, but like I don't even, or even with you coming to the table, you probably notice, like, I don't even sell people stuff. Half the time I don't even mention the product. Like they're like, like we'll start talking and laughing, and then they're like, hey, so what's this? Like, I'm not, like, we kind of sell ourselves more than the product. Like, we try to offer more value. Like, it's not all about just pushing a product. Like, this, like, a building a brand is about way more than that. And if you're there just to sell people stuff and take their money, like, your brand's going to go nowhere.
No, that's 100% true. Because at the end of the day, you're not selling shirts. You're creating relationships. And if you go in with the thought that I'm not trying to sell you something, I'm trying to get to know you. And if you like who we are, then
be genuine about that. Like you said, most importantly, be genuine about that.
And I think that just as not a salesperson, but like at the end of the day, we're a business. But the more honest that you are, the more genuine that you are, and the more you care about the other person more than they care about you, that's how you really kind of start those relationships that they're going to go. If they do decide to buy your product, they're going to say, we bought the product and the person is also awesome. And positivity spreads slower than negativity. But like you said, it's a snowball effect. If people didn't like you showing up at their events, they wouldn't talk about you kindly. You probably wouldn't get those invites, right?
Yeah, exactly. Invites. in like the same way positivity spreads, like negativity will spread faster. Like if people don't like you, like damn sure everybody else is gonna know about that. Hey, you don't go to your event. They were a nightmare at mine, or like people didn't like them, it went horrible, and your business will tank.
No, 100%. And this, I guess, this is actually a really good segue, you know, in the idea of networking. I mean, you were with the MF CEO. Like, how have you been able to network your brand? What's helped you just network?
Just, like, constantly putting myself out there to do it. Like, that's something, like, a lot of people don't do is just put themselves out there and be honest about it. Like, I've always been honest about where I'm at, like, in business from day one, from the day I, like, launched my Kickstarter campaign. Like, I never tried to put on the front, like, I was some, like, big shot business owner. Like, I kept it real with people. Like, this is who I am. Like, I'm trying to start this company. And then once you, I'm trying to raise this money. Once you raise the money, it's like, all right, we're trying to grow this business. And then once you start growing this business, it's like, all right, we have a business. Now we're trying to take it to the next step. And I think, like you were already mentioning earlier, you need to be really honest with people and be genuine about who you are, where you're at. Don't put on a front, because people relate with you a lot more if you're real as opposed to putting on that front.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is helping you kind of spread your awareness with your brand? I mean, there's Facebook advertisements, and I think this is kind of getting more into the nitty-gritty of, you know, the tactical. What are some things that you're doing that people could do, you know, to help promote their business, whether it's through Facebook ads, Instagram ads, buying ads on Google? What do you think has been the most helpful for you and your brand?
Yeah, I mean, like if you're just a bootstrap business starting up, I don't suggest like starting out with paid advertising. We just started recently doing some of the paid advertising and stuff. Like there's a million ways that you could do for free that are going to be more effective at first than the paid advertising, which can be like going to events, calling, spending like an hour or two just cold calling. For me, it was gyms. Hey, can we come in your gym and handing out samples, doing all that kind of stuff. When you go there, bring a pen and paper with you, collect emails that way rather than running an ad for it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And before you know, a ton of emails from all local people and your brand's starting to get bigger. And I think, like, anything you could do with an advertisement, you could do just kind of, like, through hustle on the ground. So, like, if you're trying to save money, you should be doing things like that, hitting up events, bringing a pen and paper, getting emails. I'm trying to think of some of the other stuff we've done. Oh, do giveaways. Like, chances are you know people with decent-sized followings. Like, do some giveaways. Hey, I'll send you a bag for free if you do a giveaway with it. All that kind of stuff. Like, you just need to really get creative with it because there's a lot of ways you can do it that don't cost a lot of money.
So let's say I gave you $100, right? And you could spend $100 on any form of advertisement. How would you use $100 on helping promote your brand?
I'd say, like, right now, if you were to give me $100, I would run a Facebook ad with it, getting people, offering our free ebook to get people to subscribe to our mailing list. And I'll explain that too, because that's probably hard to understand if you don't know what I'm talking about. So you're saying, you're talking about spending money, getting customers, all this stuff.
Yes.
The best way to get customers is if you get them on your email list, because now that's free marketing. Every time you run an ad, you have to pay to advertise to them. So if you're running an ad for something like a free ebook, you're giving people something for free that they're more likely to click into your ad. And it doesn't have to be an ebook. It could be anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. An ebook's just a good example, and that's what we do. So you could say, you offer them some sort of value, something for free. Like I said, this goes back to not trying to sell people stuff right away. You know what I mean? Offer them a free ebook. Then they subscribe to your list. And now you have them on your list, and you can market your product all you want to them, and it's not costing you anything. So if you were to give me $100, I'd probably do something like that. And people could, depending on what stage you're at in the game, you could do other things. Like you could take that $100 and go sponsor a couple events, like we've been saying 100 times. But I'd say, like, for $100, that's a pretty good ad budget to do something like grow your email list, which I think is, like, very, very important. That's why I even mention it.
So growing your email list. Okay, so it's funny that you mentioned that. I was watching, I went to Social Media Marketing World, and I was learning about, you know, retargeting, growing your email list, and actually the importance of giving something that's highly desirable and easily digestible, like a PDF. Because, like you said, it's if you're just running ads for the sake of running ads, you're probably not, A, targeting the right audience. So,
And you're not going to be converting either.
Exactly, because if you're just shouting things to the wrong people, it doesn't make sense. And if you're asking for someone's information without giving, that's just like asking somebody on the side of the street, like, hey, buy my shirt because I think it looks good. Like, it just doesn't resonate. Whereas if you're able to establish a relationship, give something for free, and a PDF doesn't cost a lot of money to make. It's not that difficult. And I think companies, businesses need to start thinking about what would the consumer want? Not what do I want to give the consumer, but what would benefit the consumer?
Yeah, and you can, and it's not hard to find that kind of stuff out either. Like, once you get your company going, say you have like a couple thousand followers on social media, all you have to do is say, hey, we want to put together a free ebook for you guys. What would you like to know about? And before you know it, you got a bunch of people DMing you, and you know exactly what your audience wants.
And how have you leveraged Instagram? I know we've been talking a little bit about Facebook. How do you use Instagram for your business?
I'd say I try to educate people on Instagram. It all goes back to value. I try to offer value. I don't just post pictures to post pictures. Like, there's intent when I post stuff. Like, I try to educate people. I try to motivate people. And then I sell them, obviously, on the product, too. But I think it goes back to value. I think if you're, that's where people are consuming content nowadays, on Instagram especially. So you should be offering as much value as you can on those posts. And I try to use customers a lot. Like, you probably noticed on my Instagram, I probably repost more than, like, any company I know. Like, reposting customers' products and tagging them. Because it makes people feel more part of the community. And it also lets them know you care and appreciate their business. Like, I use customer-generated content all the time. Like, a lot of the pictures you see me post, a customer actually took that picture, and I'm just making my own post with it and giving them credit at the bottom.
And it's free content for your business at the end of the day. If people are wearing or buying your stuff, I think, like you said, it's building the community.
It's social proof, too. Like, people are going to, if they see real people wearing the shirts, drinking the coffee, they're going to be more inclined to believe them and buy it rather than me just posting 100 times saying, hey, warm-up has 15 grams of protein and it tastes just like espresso. Buy it at our website now. Like, that's not going to work as well as seeing real people using the product, explaining why they like it.
Mm-hmm. How have you found, so you touched upon it a little bit earlier about collaborating, right, with influencers. Have you done that or even other companies? And how do you navigate that initial conversation?
Yeah, so I've collaborated. Launching a brand ambassador program is something that I plan to do with the company in the not so distant future. I'm just waiting. This June, I'm going to be shooting that are going to go on my website about like our brand, who we are, all that kind of stuff. And I want to wait till I have all that kind of branding and that stuff in there before before I start driving like influencers, like all kinds of crazy traffic to the website. Because when people go to the website, they're going to kind of get captured more. And it's going to be more of an experience. But to put it more simply, like, I've used influencers for things like giveaways and that kind of stuff. And I've been kind of lucky to the point where, like I said, it just goes back to like offering value and getting people excited about it. The influencers I've used have all reached out to me on Instagram.
Wow.
They've like repost other people. It just like, I feel like the vibe that Instagram gives off is just that people are excited about the product and genuinely like the product and the brand. So I feel like when influencers come across that page, they're like, oh, all right, this is cool, and I love coffee and protein. Like, can I try it out? So that's usually how, like, it's gone down. Like, they've reached out to me and said, like, this looks so cool. So I've kind of been lucky in that sense. But not even lucky. I think it goes back to, like, just, like, branding the whole experience to make people feel like the brand's something to get excited about. So if you do a good job in that, like, you'll have people reach out to you.
So it's really interesting as Instagram has grown to be what it is now and people always grow in their following. What do you use as a good rule of thumb or a metric to measure whether an influencer has good engagement or a true following? Because anyone can really buy followers now, but how do you use a good rule of thumb? Like, who should you choose as a good quote-unquote influencer?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've chosen good and bad ones. I think you want to take a look at their page. You want to understand who they are, what accomplishments do they have. Because I think, like, if a person just has a ton of followers and no credibility, chances are their followers aren't real. But then you want to look at the engagement on their post, too. Do they have, like, 50K followers and get, like, no comments on their photos or like only 100 likes, you know what I mean? I think like checking out their engagement is a real good way to do it. Seeing who follows them, like do any like famous people or I don't know, established people, you could say, do established people follow them in that industry? Because if they have all those followers in that industry, chances are they have to know people who are already made in that industry. So you just really have to start digging in and doing a little research, figuring out who the person is, kind of fact-checking their content and engagement, and then go forward with it. Because I've noticed, like, I've done giveaways with people who only have, say, like 5,000 followers, and then I've done giveaways with people who have 20,000 followers, and the giveaways with the people with 5,000 followers have done, like, way better. So I think don't, like, shut people out just because they might not have as many followers. Like, figure out how loyal their audience is to them. Because there's people out there who have, like, 5,000 followers, but their 5,000 followers are, like, a cult. Like, they really, like, are into that person. They appreciate what they say. They listen to everything they say. They're going to take suggestions from them. Then you got people with 25K who, like, their followers could really care less.
No, and one thing, and I guess this kind of gets into a little bit more number stuff. I work for a college and I do their social media, and the way that we navigate and like everything you're saying, like, again, I'm a very analytical person when it comes to data. What you can do if you're looking to work for influencers that I find helpful to me is choose 10 influencers, go to each of their Instagram pages, choose 9 of their posts, and this is the algorithm that I use. Get their likes, add their comments, divided by their followers, and that's your engagement rate. Find it on 9 of their posts, get an average, and compare it to 10 other people that are similar to kind of find what you think is kind of like an average engagement rate that you should find in an influencer.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good way of going about it, as far as giving you like an actual metric.
Yeah, because it's easy to look at, oh, this person has maybe 70,000 followers or 100,000, and their likes are okay, but you want to compare it against other similar ones.
Definitely.
Just so you can say, this is a good rule of thumb, because it's easy to just think that somebody with a following and a couple likes is an influencer. You want to make sure that you have a rule of thumb that they follow.
Yeah. You want to make sure your influencer has influence.
Exactly. With the rise in the notoriety, but I can say, like, just the word of entrepreneur, right? You probably hear it everywhere. Everybody is entrepreneur, or people are trying to be entrepreneurs. And what would you say is your definition of what an entrepreneur is?
I think like an entrepreneur is the complete opposite of what everyone in our generation thinks it is. An entrepreneur has nothing to do with the razzle dazzle An entrepreneur is someone who's willing to work harder than everyone else and sacrifice to reach their goal for a long period of time, because that's really what it is and what it comes down to. I think, like, people here, like, especially today, like, Instagram is flooded with bullshit of these people. Like, even I saw Ty Lopez ad the other day, and he's like, hey, I'm at this conference, and I'm with 3 19-year-old kids, and they're all making $40,000 a month. And it's just so, like, it's foolish and inaccurate, and it's just, Instagram, I think, is to somewhat blame for it. Like, people have started to paint, like, this falsified picture of entrepreneurship, and it's, like, the complete opposite. Like, entrepreneurship is, like, eating shit for a long time, hustling, waking up early, doing the things people don't want to do until you reach your goal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't believe in, like, all these, like, I see the pages every day, like, oh, how I travel the world and make money online, blah, 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 and you see them, like, posting pictures in, like, exotic places or with all this money, and, like, sometimes the money they're posting is even fake. So, yeah, like, people need to realize, like, it just doesn't work like that, and a lot of that stuff that they're seeing, and it's, like, making them feel insecure about themselves in a way, because they're like, oh, wow, like, this kid's my age, how's he have all this, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people need to just stop feeling insecure with themselves by looking at stuff that isn't even real, and just, like, focusing on, like, building their empire and just doing it for real, like, no excuses, putting in the work, making it happen.
I really do believe that being a CEO or being an entrepreneur is literally being like a firefighter. Like, yep. Nobody likes to go into the fires. Nobody likes doing it, but that's what it takes to save the house. That's what it takes to kind of be the hero. Like, you're going to have to do some stuff that isn't easy. At the end of the day, like, we were talking about this, like, when you're on vacation, like, of course, you want to kind of sign off a little bit, but your mind is always there. Like, I don't think...
You're never going to sign off. You just... Yeah, I haven't been able to since I, like, launched the Kickstarter campaign. I don't think there's been one day where I've completely signed off. Because if you really just want it to work and make it happen, like, it's impossible. Like, if you're really passionate about what you're doing and, like, you're really putting in the effort for real, it's impossible for you to sign off.
No, 100%. I mean, for myself, I'm always attached to my phone, whether it's business calls or upcoming opportunities for, like, videoing. Like, so I'm always thinking about what's next and how can I do things bigger, better, more efficiently. And that's just the mindset of it all. We work harder. We stay up later. We stress more. But I think that all of these things that most people don't like is what we're willing to suffer to be able to accomplish. And that's something that I've been learning more. It's not what do you want in this life. It's what are you willing to suffer? What are you willing to go through?
100%. Like, I say it all the time. What scares me the most, like, especially being us young kids, we're like, we're still paving our path. Like, we haven't even, like, scratched the surface yet. So it's like, what scares me most is not, like, mediocrity scares me way more than not taking a chance.
Absolutely. What, like, would you
like? I'm going to be 40 years old and average scares me way more than diving into this and trying to grow a business.
You rather know that you bet on yourself and tried something that you wanted to do and be 40 years old with regrets.
Exactly, 100%.
What do you think this year, or even let's say 2019, what do you think is going to happen next for you and your business? Tell me some, maybe projections, or not even projections, like, what do you think is, what's coming up next for you?
Like, my main focus right now is we've started, like, picking up all these local retails recently, so I definitely plan to keep expanding on that, building up our local retailers. Start scaling more online now that we started diving into the paid advertising world. Those are the two, like, things on the forefront. But now that we got into Match Challenge, that's going to be a big focus of mine too. Making the most of those resources, the mentors, all that kind of stuff. I think, yeah, Mass Challenge is probably the biggest focus of this company right now.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about Mass Challenge? Maybe some of us or some of the listeners don't know exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah, of course. So if you're not familiar with it, Mass Challenge is, I'm pretty sure, one of the top three accelerators in the world. They have locations in England, locations in Israel, here in Boston, and thousands of startups apply every year for this Boston Accelerator. And Warm Up was one of 128 out of an original 3,500 startups, I believe, that applied.
Wow.
Yeah, that got into the program. And what they do is they provide you with industry-specific mentors to help you grow and scale your business and help you focus on the things you need to focus on. For example, there's a lot of tech startups that are in Mass Challenge, so they'll have access to all the Mass Challenge, like 3D printing labs and like all that kind of stuff. We go through like a whole 4-month program in which they help us like scale our business, connect us with people, set us up for success, basically. Anybody who's listening to, you can go do research. You'll find some of the startups that came out of Mass Challenge, and I think like over 90% of them have done very well. And so like getting into Mass Challenge doesn't guarantee success for you, but it's really giving you the tools to make something happen with your company and scale at a fast pace. And at the end of the program, they do like a big banquet award ceremony, and they give away $1.2 million in zero equity prizes to all the startups.
Wow. That sounds like, first off, an amazing opportunity. And knowing your hustle and your drive to maximize the resources and make the most out of this, I know you're going to do great.
I appreciate it, man. Definitely. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. And as we get close to the end of the podcast, there's one question that I like to ask all of my guests. So what I would like to know from you is, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
Be invisible so I don't have to deal with people.
Unfortunately, I think in our line of work, we're going to have to be visible the entire time.
That's the ironic part of it. I am like people and joking around, and it's like deep down, like I really don't like people and want to be left alone.
Would you say you're more of an introvert?
As weird as it sounds, I think I'm an introverted extrovert.
I'm exactly the same way. Like, I love being with people. I love being with family, having a good time, but I need my alone time. Yeah. If I don't have my alone time, I go crazy.
Yeah, I really appreciate just being left alone sometimes.
Listen, man, where can people find you and your company? What are some of the details?
Yeah, so if you want to follow me, I try to post like the best content I can, and I share my journey the best I can on my Instagram, which is JT3STA. And then my business's Instagram is Warm Up Protein Coffee. And yeah, you can find us there on Instagram. Our website's warmupnutrition.com. Anybody who's listening, you can feel free to shoot me a DM. I'm always happy to connect, chat with people, hear what you're doing in business. And yeah, basically anything, you could always reach out.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for your time, man. And for anyone listening, make sure to go check out Warm Up Protein Coffee. Did I say that right? Warm Up Protein Coffee.
Yep.
But thank you again, James, you know, for being on the show. And I appreciate your time. And everyone, make sure to go check them out. But we'll be back next week with another episode. If you guys enjoyed the episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening to. And thank you guys so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace out.